This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Is Imam Mahdi about to appear soon? Are we going to live to see the time of Dajjal? Are we living the end of times? These are frequent questions I'm being asked at this moment, especially with the current situation going on in the world. To understand all of this, you have to first understand that the Prophet ﷺ gave us minor signs and he gave us major signs. Okay? Now, major signs, there are 10 of them, starting with Dajjal and then Isa alayhi salam, and then Ya'juj, Ma'juj and so on. These are 10 major signs. None of the major signs can appear until all the minor signs have appeared. And where is Imam Mahdi in all of this? Imam Mahdi is the bridge between the minor signs and the major signs, meaning that he will be the last of the minor signs and he will live to see the coming of the Dajjal, live to see the coming of the first of the major signs. Okay? So now, of the minor signs, if they don't all appear, then we won't see Imam Mahdi, we won't see the Dajjal. Okay, remember that. And from the minor signs, the scholars have said that most of them have appeared, except for a few, that a handful of them that haven't appeared. Of them is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the river Euphrates, which runs from Turkey, goes through Syria, all the way through Iraq. That river will recede and it will leave behind it like a mountain full of gold. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us not to go there. He said, for every 100 men that go there, every man thinking that I'm going to be the one taking the gold, he said 99 of them will die and only one of them will come back alive. Okay, that's a minor sign of the day of before the day of judgment, which we haven't seen yet. Until that doesn't come, Imam Mahdi is not coming, and you know, the Dajjal is not coming, you know, thereafter. Another sign of the minor signs which hasn't yet appeared is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the Jaziratul Arab in Sahih Hadith of Muslim, that the Arabian Peninsula would return back to becoming green and have rivers flowing in it. We haven't seen that yet come, and there are a few others that haven't come. Of the signs that haven't come is the lot of battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about before, and a lot of wars that happened before the coming of Imam Mahdi. Okay, so one of them is about, and it's a long hadith about the Ahlul Rum. Who are the Ahlul Rum? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says that word or that phrase, he's referring to the current day Europeans. In his time, they were the Roman Empire. In today's time, it's the Europeans and the people who traveled from Europe going to America, because that's how America was founded, and anywhere else from Europe that they went. These are the Ahlul Rum. Now, the Ahlul Rum will divide into two. There will be part of them that will be the enemies of Muslims, and part of them will be sympathetic towards the Muslims. Those who are sympathetic towards the Muslims will join the Muslims together in a war and fight the others who are the, you know, who are the enemies of the Muslims. And these battles carry on. Some they will lose, some they will win, and so on, until one day the Ahlul Rum that are sympathetic towards the Muslims, with the Muslims, they win over the others. Okay? They live in peace for a little while, and after that, one day they fall into dispute. The Muslims say that we won this last major war because of the Quran. And the Ahlul Rum say, no, we won it because of the cross. And they have a fight between them now. And in this fight, the Muslims are defeated. And the hadith mentions that that Imam Mahdi is coming after this. Okay, so Imam Mahdi comes at the end of sort of this war. Okay, that's one hadith. There's another hadith in Abu Dawud, a Sahih hadith, which speaks about the succession of khalifas. Now, khalifa is a person who rules the entire Muslim world. We had this for centuries and centuries from the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu till about 100 years ago. That whole succession, it comes in again. And there are many successive sort of rulers. One last ruler has passed away. A new ruler is supposed to be elected. They are in Sham at the moment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about Sham in various ahadith. When he says Sham, he doesn't mean today Syria only. It covers Syria, whole of Syria. It covers Lebanon. It covers the whole of Palestine. It covers part of Egypt. It covers part of Iraq. Okay, it's a massive part of land. In Sham, these leaders are sitting together and they're about to elect the next leader. Each one is ready, you know, could become a potential leader. And they have a dispute over who should be the leader. One of these men who could become the leader, he has enough of this. He runs away from there. He goes to Makkah. He doesn't want to become the leader. The others look around. They say, where's that man gone? And they say, well, he's gone to Makkah. So they say, you know what? Let's make him the leader. They come all the way to Makkah. They find this man that he's doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And they force him to become the leader of the Muslims, just like the Muslims forced Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the past to become a leader of the Muslims. Now, this man is the Mahdi. Now, how do you know he's the Mahdi? Not because of this occurrence, but because of another occurrence that happens at that very moment, which is they left behind them. When they came down from Sham, they left behind them an army. That army becomes rebellious. And they say, well, what? They're making this guy the leader of the Muslims? No, we're not taking any of this, right? So they come with a whole army trying to crush these people. When they get to Medina in a plain piece of land, then the whole land opens beneath their feet and that whole army is crushed and swallowed inside. When that occurrence happens, we know the man that they gave allegiance to in front of the Kaaba, he is the Mahdi. Now, when Imam Mahdi comes out, he's now got to unite the Muslims together. So his first job is to get the Muslims together. Okay? So he's now the Khalifa of Muslims. He gets the Muslims together. He comes to Europe for a major, major war. This is a major war where the Muslims, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about a third of the Muslims, they are, you know, shuhada, the best shuhada of the day. They're martyrs, martyred in that war. A third of them run away from that war, never to be forgiven again. And a third of them are victorious with Imam Mahdi. And now Imam Mahdi has the whole of Europe and the European side and the security good ruling, and he fills the earth with justice as much as injustice was there before him. He replaces it with justice. In a hadith, he travels all the way to India, he travels all the way to Persia to bring the Muslims together. Now he's got his rule there. Now the key thing here is when Imam Mahdi has brought, okay, and don't forget there are a number of wars that have to happen before Imam Mahdi comes. So what's happening in the world is just, you know, just like a war, but it's not, you know, the war that brings Imam Mahdi about. There are a number of other wars that have to come back, and all the occurrences that I've just talked about now as well. Imam Mahdi, when it comes to power, the hadith mentioned that he's going to frequently go up and down from Jerusalem back up north again, back to European side again. Now the scholars have said, if that is the case, subhanAllah, it means that Jerusalem will not be under anyone's occupation at that time, except for the Muslims, except for Imam Mahdi. That's one set of scholars. Another set of scholars have said that Dajjal will have his base around the sort of Jerusalem area. Now, there's a whole dispute between the scholars, which is that, you know, what's going to be, you know, whose occupation is Jerusalem going to be in at the time when Imam Mahdi appears and when Dajjal comes about. Now, we are going to incline more towards the fact that, subhanAllah, Imam Mahdi has got, you know, Jerusalem under his control. Okay, from the ahadith, it's quite clear because he's going in and out of it. And the ahadith mention, okay, in one hadith he mentioned Dajjal can't go to Makkah and Medina, which is, you know, when you say Makkah and Medina, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the Haram of Makkah and the Haram of Medina, which is the masjid and its vicinity. It's outside sort of, you know, vicinity. That's in Makkah and Medina. Another hadith in Ahmad mentions four places Dajjal can't go into, and it's Makkah, Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa, and Masjid al-Tur. Okay? Now, when he says Masjid al-Aqsa, subhanAllah, the Prophet has been saying he can't go into Masjid al-Aqsa. Does that mean that the whole of the Aqsa surroundings are under the occupation of the people who are trying to take over it right now, and Dajjal can't only go into Masjid al-Aqsa? Or does it mean that the whole of the Aqsa vicinity is under the Muslim rule? Again, it's a you know, debate amongst the Muslim scholars. We furthermore have another hadith that describes that the first great following, the first following, major following of Dajjal is going to be from the east. It's going to be from a place of Asfahan in Iran. And there's going to be 70,000 Jewish people who will follow him. These are going to be the first major followers of Dajjal. Now, again, the question is, why from that part of the world? Why are they the major? Is it because, you know, he's got his major, you know, base somewhere in the east, and then he comes to fight the Muslims over here in the Middle East and so on? Who knows? We can't be for sure. But certainly we've got hope that whatever is happening right now in the world, it doesn't have to be that they take over this entire place. They might be there for some time. We don't know how long. Okay, but we definitely know that there's going to be, you know, something that is going to come back now. Where are you going to find all of that? I'm going to ask all of you to read the tafsir of the beginning of Surah Isra. Okay, if you want to know the future of this place, of Jerusalem, and what's going to happen, well, you look in the Quran, because that's what the Quran came to us for. It came to us to tell us about, you know, about things that are the most important things to us. Why did Allah Azza wa Jalla dedicate the first, you know, part of Surah Isra talking about, you know, this place, Masjid al-Aqsa, and what's going to happen, and what happened in the past, and what Allah said each time there is a great occupation that happens there, what will be the outcome of that? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that in Surah Isra in the beginning. Go and read the tafsir yourself and find out, because there it mentions, whatever is mentioned there of the history, is about to repeat itself in the future. Okay, eventually, there's going to be no occupation there, because Allah will send his men in there, right? His men in there, and it says that dakhaluhu, they will enter the masjid, you know, as they entered beforehand. Does that mean, again, that the whole thing is occupied by the people who are trying to take over right now? It could be, yes, it could be very much so that they actually take over the entire place. It could also be that all this happens and, you know, way and gone, later on Imam Mahdi comes, he takes, he's already in control over that, and Dajjal doesn't have his base there. It could be either way. Anyway, food for thought.